Welcome to the Dr. Obed Obinna Day podcast. Dr. Obed is a thought leader and apologist who speaks to life's great existential questions of origin, purpose, faith, and destiny with fluency and grace. He is an author and the president of the Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated, a vibrant apostolic commission that heralds the message of the fullness of Christ. Dr. Obed has seen his ministry soar to great heights over several years, touching the lives of many across the globe through his various ministry platforms. May you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as you listen to mind-renewing and heart-enlightening messages by Dr. Obed. Do enjoy this teaching. God bless you.
We're already in the flow of the Spirit, and I have so much to do today. And so I'll just go straight to the point and teach. When I'm done, I would give prophecies of what God is telling me concerning this year. I'm going to give global prophecies. I'm going to give national prophecies. And I'm also going to give personal prophecy. So it is like we're moving in all dimensions of the prophetic today. Amen. I'm coming as a prophet to speak the mind of God by the word of God concerning the year 2023. That is the first prophetic word, which will cover everybody globally. Then when I'm done, I would also go into specific areas of practical prophecies of the things we should look out for to know that God is already gone ahead in the year and he knows what will happen. This we know in the book of Ecclesiastes, the chapter 3, the verse number 15. The word of God is clear concerning the future and the present and the past. With God who lives in eternity of time and in eternity outside of time. Because time is a function and a subset of eternity. You cannot take time out of eternity. It's a fabric of eternity. Eternity is bigger than time. But time being a part of eternity in the eternal knowings of God, the one who dwells in yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The one who does not change. The one who is the same today. He's the same yesterday and he's the same forever. Jesus is his name. And he is just like his father who does not change. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that that which hath been is now. That which hath been is now. That which hath been. That means that the past is what is playing out presently. And that which is to be, the future, had already been. That is like, it is very interesting to hear the prince of preachers, Solomon, pen down. The Bible calls him the preacher. He said, that which had been is now. That means that the past is the present. And that which is to be, the future, had already been. That also means that the future is the past and the past is the present. So what does it mean? Actually, it is man who sleeps and wakes up in chronological time that says yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But with God, he does not live in yesterday. He doesn't live in today. He does not live in tomorrow. He is, for he is God. The Bible says that whosoever comes to God should know that he is. He is. The word of God says in the book of the Revelation of Jesus that Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Jesus, he was, he is, and is to come. That is to say that the wasness of Jesus is the isness of Jesus, and the comeness of Jesus is still the isness of Jesus. Jesus lives in the present, he lives in the future, and he lives in the past. People of God, the word of God says that, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. According to the word of God, the word that is used, the reason why the Prince of Preachers would say that that which had been is now and that which is to come had already been, is because in Hebrew there is no present, past, and future. The word that is used for past is the same word that is used for now, and the word that is used for now is the same word that is used for the future, and that word is the Hebrew word kebar. And so you will realize that a prophet in the word of God called Ezekiel. Now, for most people, when we read the book of Ezekiel, the chapter 1 and the chapter 3, we see that Ezekiel was by the river Kebar. The Bible says that now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kebar. What is the river Kebar? You see, for most Bible theologians, they will see the river Kebar as a geological and a geographic place, which is in this world. But then when you understand a little bit of Hebrew, you know that Ezekiel was not necessarily talking about a physical river called Kebar, but rather he was talking about the flow of the events of God. Because when you read Ezekiel, the entire book, you know that Ezekiel was prophesying of things to come. He spoke of seeing the four living creatures. He spoke of seeing Christ glorified. He spoke of kingdoms that was to come and kingdoms that were in his day. It takes the prophet Ezekiel to be by the river of the isness of God, the wasness of God, and the is to come of God. This river is known as the river Kebar, because in Hebrew, Kebar means now, Kebar means yesterday, and Kebar means tomorrow. When a man will stand in the Kebar of the experience of the prophetic flow, that river that flows into the future, listen to me, you can have comfort in your present knowing that the future is already in the past, and the past is playing itself in the now. I thank God. Watch this. Most of the time when we read that verse of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, we tend to confuse what the Prince of Preachers was saying. Please watch this. He said that the past is now, then the future is not now, but the future is in the past. I don't know if somebody's listening to me. Hear me, that the past is in the now, and the future is in the past. That simply means that your present condition, however bad it looks like, do not use today to predict tomorrow. If your today does not look appealing to you, you can carry the present today, which is a forthright march into tomorrow, and take your tomorrow and put it in the past. Make corrections in the past for it to play out in your now. What does it mean? That if you meet a person in his now, do not predict his tomorrow. Because if he is able to make amends by divine power of God, if he is able to make corrections of his tomorrow, he can make the tomorrow become his past, which will play out in his present now. What am I saying? I'm trying to communicate to you that you are not out of course. The 2023 that you are looking at, you can pick 2023, make it a past event in the annals and in the God experience, so that it is affected in your now in January, affected in your now in February, affected in your now in March. It is going to be affected in every experience you have in the now time of God. For God does not change. To God, he's not seeing tomorrow. God is not seeing yesterday. God is living in the now. And in the now of God is the past, and in the future of God is still the past. So to God, everything is in the past. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody in this place. Listen to me. Whatever will happen has happened already. Tomorrow is in the past, and the past is what is playing now. No more anxiety, no more worry, nothing to worry about, because your future is in the past. It has been accomplished. But that is a good place to begin. Because we know that Jesus, who hung on the cross, he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago. But the experience of salvation and of that salvific experience is still alive and at work today. It looks as if when a person walks into the body of Christ, he walks right on in this present time in the experience of Calvary yesterday. But can I talk to you? The same Bible says that Jesus Christ, he was slain from the foundation of the world. That means that before God said, let there be light, Jesus was already crucified. Before God said, let the waters come, Jesus was already crucified. Before God said, let the stars appear, Jesus was already crucified. So now the experience of salvation, which you are having in your now, by your reception to the life of God, and the acknowledging that God raised him from the dead, which brings you into new life, this experience was already accomplished in the foundations of the world. And in this foundation of the world, hey, we see Jesus. Now he stepped into the garments of dying humanity, sinful humanity. He took on the form of a bond servant, and he now had the frailty that was accorded to sinning humanity. He was made a sin. He was no sinner, but was made a sin, so that whatever had been accomplished in the annals of God from the foundation of the world, some people think that the sin of Adam shocked God, but God already knew that Adam was going to sin. This is the reason why God was not angry with Adam, because he had the panacea, the medication, he had the drug to fix the sin problem of Adam. Let me tell you something, God is not angry at you because you sin. God already knows about sin before you arrived in this world. God was not shocked. If God be shocked about sin, then sin is greater, because God pre-existed sin. Before you came to sin, sin existed before you came, and God existed before sin. So now, in the knowledge of the experience of God, it was no shock that Adam committed sin. And so, God, knowing that Adam was going to commit sin from the foundation of the world, he had the Lamb of God slain. He prepared the Christ to die even before his death. So now the word of God says that God walked through the garden looking for Adam. If you know that somebody has done wrong, you don't come looking for them. You hide, and when you catch them, but God expresses love. Even when man was running away from God in the frailty, in the shame of his sin, God still came for him. God didn't leave him to rot. God didn't leave him to be all by himself. As a result of the decadence of the experience of sin that had eaten into his spirit, the Bible said, God said, hey, Adam, where are you? Tonight, God is asking of your whereabouts. God is looking for you. He is in the garden of this world. He is mentioning your name. I don't know by what means you walk into this meeting. I don't know whether it is mere coincidence that you are seated under the influence of my voice. I don't know, but God knows. He knows your location. He knows your address. He knows where in particular you are seated according to heaven's GPS system. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. God knew about the situation of Adam before he fell. The Bible said, Adam, Adam, where are you? That was a question that God put for. Somebody may say that God was looking for Adam because he didn't know his whereabouts. But the reason why we know that God knew it was that, about the time he had the conversation with Adam, he already had the lamb prepared for the panacea of the sin condition of Adam. I want you to know that when God is looking for you, he's not looking to judge you. God is actually saying, I have the soap for that dirty cloth. I have that drug for that state of sickness. So God is looking for you, not because you've been able to escape his presence, but he's actually calling you to come. Come and have an experience. Come, 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 come. From wherever you are, come. Whosoever may come. Hey, come,
come. The voice of the Lord is calling you to come. Tonight, wherever you are, I want you to know that God is not looking for you because you are out of radar. God is looking for you because he has something for your own good. I don't know how you feel tonight. I don't know whether you feel rejected, dejected, ostracized. You feel that nothing good can come out of your life. I came to tell you where you are seated in the gallery. God is looking for you. It is not because you are out of radar. It is because it is an invitation. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? He's looking for you. Hey, yes, Refrell. Yes, Refrell. And yes, sir. What to be a Daniel Radin and Copper?
Jesus.
Our show free, sir.
Yes.
Our seminar.
He has the
soul.
To wash you clean.
Our Moja Kronkroa.
He has a holy blood.
On the back too.
To cleanse you.
Yes, Jesus is looking
yes, for you.
Yes, Jesus.
Jesus is looking
for
you.
Friend.
And tonight.
Jesus
is looking for you.
Jesus
is looking for you. Jesus said, wherever you are,
what do you want him to?
In your mind, you are running from the
Lord. But
who can escape from the
Lord? Jonah tried.
Jonah tried.
He ended up in the belly of resurrection.
Jesus.
You didn't hear that one. Jonah tried running away from God. He ended up in the belly of resurrection. I didn't say he ended up in the belly of the whale. Do you know why? Can I talk to you?
Talk to us.
Do you know that the whale swallowing Jonah was God's own preparation? The Bible said God prepared a fish. A fish to do what? A fish to transport Jonah into the place God wants. You didn't hear that one?
Jesus.
God prepared a fish. So God had resurrection in place to vomit Jonah.
Jesus.
In the land of Nineveh, where God is looking for him to be. Tonight, whatever it is, however bad you look, friend, however terrible you feel, viewer in TV world, your sin is not bigger than my God. Your condition is not beyond his reach. God is looking for you. Jesus, refrain. Jesus, refrain. I say no, na. Oh yeah. Jesus refrain,
whoa.
Jesus
refrain,
Jesus. Keep on me.
Refrain,
oh. Ni I say oh. Fire new
year.
Of how if we saw best one year.
Calling you because he wants to do you good.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, hey, I want some of your tongue.
Lift your pure hands and
ask God. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, resafo.
Oh yeah, yeah, resafo.
Ni asay, ni asay no. Papa Jesus,
Jesus refrain.
On the phone, I say no na.
I say no.
I say no na.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
See, and then no Jesus refrain.
Jesus refrain.
Yes, refrain.
Yes, refrain.
Me asai, me asai, no na. Offaye nu ye, offaye nu ye. Sing it for the last time. Yesu refrain.
Yesu refrain.
Jesus refrain.
Jesus refrain.
Ni asay, ni asay, ni asay.
Ni asay,
no na. Me yami ye. I'm poor.
It is true.
Yes, there will be.
Jesus is calling out to someone.
Yeah, so not here.
Make ear and listen to his voice.
So we know that by the river Chebar, it is the flow of visions of the yesterday, today, and the future. The experience is that we are mostly in captivity. Our present circumstances have taken us captive. And I want to say that the greatest captive is the thoughts. So when you read the word of God, Paul said, taking every thought captive. If you don't take care, thoughts will take you captive. Instead of you taking thoughts captive. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the casting down of imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now, Ezekiel said that he was amongst the captives. By the river of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But do you know what he did? He lived beyond the present circumstances of the captivity. He says in the book of Ezekiel, I saw in the visions of God. There are times you need to look beyond your present vision. You need to look beyond your present experience. You need to catapult your spirit into the realm of God, where the horizon is not in the future, but the horizon is in the past that you are bringing into the present. See Ezekiel. He said, I was in the visions of God. By the river Kibar, there is a mystery about the future that plays out always before God, because it is God that operates like that. So when a man begins to announce the future to you, it is us announcing the future, but not to God, because God already knows what is in the future. So our announcements of the future does not impress God. But you see, when we come announcing the future to you, we are only validating the presence of God. So Paul says, we should desire to prophesy. We should desire prophetic gift, especially to prophesy. Then he said, if one who is not a part of us come into our midst, the secrets of his heart is now made manifest, and the person will now testify that God, not the prophet, that God is in our midst of a truth. So the prophetic gift is to validate God. We live in a generation, in a country, where people want to use systems to confiscate God. They decide how we should prophesy. They decide how we should go about it. I am not speaking against the systems that are in place for proper policing of sanity in this nation. I'm not against it. But hey, I am against any system that want to confiscate, that want to control how the prophetic should operate. I want you to know that we are not going to allow the captivity and the intimidation of our present structure that decides who we prophesy to and how we should go about the prophecy. No, we are in the river Kebar. We are living in the realm of tomorrow, today, and in the past, and it plays out to us like it is before us now. And the pictures of what we see is what we would say, not disregarding the wisdom of prophetic communication. Because I know a man called Nathan the prophet. He had a communication from God. And because he knew that David was a man in authority, you see, there is a way to prophesy to people in authority, and there is a way to prophesy to people who are not in authority. The prophetic gift, the sanity of the prophetic gift, is to recognize dignitaries and how to minister to them. It is not to recognize everybody. So you should understand that when Nathan got the prophetic word, he didn't go to stand on Mount Zion. He didn't announce it on Mount Hermon, what he had seen concerning David. He walked up to David and delivered the prophetic word, because the word concerns David and no other. Hey, and he didn't just go blurting it out on David. He used wisdom. He had symbolism. He had proverbs. So now we have come to the place in the maturity of the prophetic gift, calling on the prophet to minister as a seasoned prophet of God. We now minister with proverbs. So we begin to speak of umofia. We begin to talk in proverbial language, so that them that have an ear in the church might hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It is the season where we would have to understand the operation of the gift, and that without and within, no intimidation can hold the prophetic gifts down. I don't think that the powers in this country are against prophecy, but rather it is a training and a raising process so that the mature ones might emerge. I know God is up to something in this end time. The giftings of God, people of God, it is too late for it to change. God will not change, and the gift will not change, because it is without repentance. God did not repent when he gave the prophetic gift to man. God is happy about how we are prophesying. God is happy about how we are delivering the prophetic message. God is not angry. The Bible said the gift and the callings of God, there is nobody that God has called that God regretted. No, not one, not even Judas. Jesus did not regret when he called Judas, but rather he called Judas unto a purpose, so that the counsel of God, the predeterminate will of God, might be accomplished by Judas. The callings of God, the gifts of God, they are without repentance. There is no one that has turned out a false prophet that God got angry if the person came in as a true prophet. There is no one that used the gift of God haphazardly that God regretted for giving him that gift. Hey, I want you to know God is God, whether there be true prophets or false prophets. God is God. Hey, I want you to know that if, now hear this, if there is a true God, and God is not intimidated by false gods, for which reason, by the snip of a finger, he can just do shoo, and the whole world will be full of true gods all by himself. God is not in competition with any false god. Even though they have emerged false gods, God is still God. This is the reason why they can emerge false prophets, but the true prophet will still be the true prophet, because false gods does not in any way deny the existence of a true God. I am speaking to the church. There could be false churches, but that does not intimidate the true church. We are not in any way intimidated. We know that there are false churches, but thank God
God that there are true churches. We know that there are false brethren, but thank God that there are true brethren. We know that there are false teachers, but thank God that there are true teachers. We know, hey, people, that there are false pastors, but thank God that there are true pastors. I don't know about you, hey, but I can see that you are a genuine brother. I can see that you are a genuine sister. Hey, we have come to the place where we now are in doubt of who is seated by us. But don't do that your suspicion of a spiritual CID in this atmosphere. There are still genuine brothers. There are still genuine sisters. There are still people who stand for God. The corruption of the age, hey, is to make our star to shine brighter. The Bible said, you are now in a crooked generation. And do you know why it is crooked? That you may shine as stars. I want you to know that when, hey, the clouds are darker, that is when we see the beauty of the stars. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Probably I'm just talking to two people. But when the atmosphere and the clouds are dark, that is when the beauty of the stars shines stronger in a generation. Hey, darkness will cover the people. Gross darkness will cover the earth. And gross darkness the people. But the Lord will be our glorious light. I want you to know that the Bible says Gentiles will come to your light, but kings will come to your rising. When you have light, Gentiles will come. But when you begin to rise, you command kings. You command the attention of rulers. Let me tell you something. There was a day when we started out in ministry, we had kids around us. But thank God for the season where we have come to. Kings are coming to our rising. Rulers are coming to our rising. Presidents are coming to our rising. I see a day in this room, the president of Ghana will be here. I see a day in this room, the president of Liberia will be here. I see a day in this room, hey, the US president will walk one day into this place. I prophesy, I declare by the lips of fire, hey, in the name of Jesus. Do you know the one by whom this will happen? You, because you will have connection with the US president, and it will be in your rising. If you believe it, shout yes.
Take your seat, let me preach. We're going somewhere. I'm just heating up. Are you ready for me? Can I do it like I'm feeling it? Listen. I'm teaching you. So the word of God as we have it, there is a mystery about the word of God. The Bible that you are carrying is so deep. And I want us to take 5 minutes to validate a few things.
Thanks so much for listening. We trust that you've been blessed with truths for life. Be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Obedovinga Day podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remain blessed. Shalom.